Thank our brother for his kind words of welcome. I wonder, should I say it's good to be here with you or not? It's good to be in our home congregation, but and as we come back from our time away yesterday, we flew in from 5 o'clock and this morning we left where we were to be at in Alicante. We come along, we had to be there at the airport, and we arrived in Northern Ireland at 22 minutes past 10. About 3 o'clock, still awake. My mom and dad, they Skyped me when I was preparing this message. And they said, are you not in bed? And I goes, well, it doesn't look like I'm in bed, sitting Skyping with you. And they says, go to bed. And I said, no, if I go to bed, I'll be tired tomorrow. So, but the Lord give us a blessing and help. And as I prepared this message for this evening, I thank you for your prayers and text messages. But as I prepared this message, I was thinking of men and women who have gone up through this congregation in Macclesfield, and I was burdened for them, and I trust the Lord would direct them, if they're not here tonight, to the internet to listen into this message as we look to the Lord. We're going to turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. And as we're turning, I want to thank you for your prayers for both my wife and myself and my three children over this last 4 years in college. We thank you for your help in many ways, and we appreciate the kindness that has been shown. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to come, grow up in this congregation, and go forth in the call of the Lord. And as you've prayed for me already and prayed for my family, we ask you to pray for us continually, that we would know the leading and guiding of the Lord. I was hoping when I would come, we would have more exam results to tell you. But as I went away for 10 days and come back, there's still no further marks. So I can only tell you I've passed 2 and waiting for 3. So keep praying, and we know the Lord's blessing in each and every situation. And pray on. Pray for the Lord's blessing upon us as I pray for here. We're turning to, as I said, to John chapter 21. And we'll read from the verse number 1. John chapter 21, from the verse number 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and at night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast thy net, the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring off the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who thou art, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then coming and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself unto his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and infallible truth. We ask you to bow your heads before the Lord. Ask for the Lord's blessing in the preaching of the word. May we know the help of God. I surely need the help of God as I preach this evening. Let's pray before the Lord this evening. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before thee again this evening, we thank thee that thou hast brought every individual to this place on this holy Sabbath day. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou O Lord, our greatest Savior, we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast drawn so many people in. And we pray, O God, as we preach Thy word this evening, Lord, that Thou would take it up and use it, O God. Thou will go from seat to seat, from heart to heart to heart. Thou will go amongst those that are gathered here and gathered far that listen by the ear of the internet. O Lord, may Thou close us in this evening. May we know a touch from God as we gather. Give me, O Lord, the power of God. O Lord, endue us with power that we need in this meeting as we preach Thy word. For I realize, O God, that I am but a feeble man, and I surely need the Lord my God. Bless us, O Lord, use us, and undertake for the close of this meeting, we pray, in the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen. The disciples have been following after Jesus these last few number of years. They have seen great works done. They have rejoiced in the things of God. They have been moved by the work of God. They have seen the sick that has been healed, the lame that has been made whole. They have seen things that men could never do. They have seen those that have been risen from the dead. Everything that Jesus done was an amazement to the disciples. Everything that he had done was wonderful. All was going well. The future looked bright. But then the Savior was rejected of men. Judas rejected and betrayed the Savior. And the Savior was taken by those men and gathered before the people, judged. And there he was battered and bruised and a thorn put upon his brow. He was sent to Calvary. Hung upon that cruel cross, and the Savior died. The disciples are distraught. They feared for their lives. Sorrow is evident amongst them. Then in chapter 20, the Savior meets with them. And what a blessed time it is in that upper room where the Savior meets with them and gives them peace and sends them forth to do a work for him. This sadness which they have endured has now become gladness. They have got amazement. They've got joy. Thanksgiving. Jesus has risen again. And you know that is our message this evening, that Jesus is risen again. We don't stand before you in a preaching house like this and say, well, we serve our Savior who's died on the cross but never risen. Hallelujah. We stand before you as a person born again by the saving grace of God. Because the Savior rose again and sits at the right hand of the Lord, our God. We come to chapter 21. The Savior has met with the disciples already twice. Once with the disciples without doubting Thomas. The second there, doubting Thomas, has come alongside. And three times, this is now the third time we find in this chapter where Jesus comes in the midst of them. And if you want to know where you see the third time, it says there in verse 14. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. The third time. Wonderful. It's going to be wonderful when they see him. It's going to be an amazing day. For when they get with Jesus, we didn't read on, but when they get to meet with Jesus, when Jesus comes into the midst, when Jesus passed by, he dwelt with them. And this is the amazing thing I read in this passage I was thinking. That Jesus fed them. And when Jesus comes into the midst of a congregation, we are fed by the Savior. You see, it's not just to be fed by a man, but that the Savior would feed each and every one of us. And the disciples were glad because the Savior spent a little time with them and he fed them. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we gathered in this meeting this evening and that each and every one of us would say, surely I have been fed by the Savior because the Savior passed his way. I pray that as we go, that surely the Savior would pass his way, that we would rejoice in the things of God. But there's one person in this passage of Scripture I want to concentrate on. And we are so like him because we fail so often. We are like Peter, who's mentioned many times. Peter is referred to in the verse number 2. He is referred to in the verse number 3 as the instigator of his actions. In the verse number 7, Peter is to cover himself. Verse 11, Peter is the one who gathers the fishes and brings them up. And in verse number 15 to 17, Jesus Christ himself takes a dealing with Peter. The one whom denied the Lord, Peter, the one who forsook the Lord, is now finding that the Savior is paying particular attention to him. And we look this night that the Lord would put particular proceeding upon our lives and attention would be drawn to us. For this evening, as we gather for a little while, I want us to look, considering the first few verses of this passage, and we're going to just consider the subject of the actions of the backslider. But this is the other part. And the blessedness of the Savior. Oh, for a blessed Savior, that we have the actions of the backslider and the blessedness of the Savior. Firstly, if we look at the verse number 3, we'll find the decision. The first action is the decision of the backslider. And you know, a backslider makes decisions in their lives. They make things and decisions come and go. Decision, look at verse number 3. Just the first few words. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. The disciples have just been joyful. Jesus Christ has been in the midst of them. They have been sent forth as men to serve the Lord. They have gone forth. They have been convicted and they have been convinced of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have been converted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have known that everything that Jesus says and done has been true. And they've been challenged by it. And now the Lord has challenged them to go forth to be fishers of men. They have been men who lived in this old world. But the Savior, when they met with the Savior, he sent them to be a constant witness. That they would go forth to seek out the people in the land. That they would go out and reach the lost. And the disciples knew they should go out with the Lord, serve the Lord. They knew that they should be workers of Christ. But the Bible tells us that they go, Peter says, I go a fishing. The disciples saw the Lord. Disciples looked and there the Lord was before them. But this night, if you want to consider it yourself, in that chapter 20, in the verse number 29, it says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now listen, this is you. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are they which have not seen yet believe. Do you believe on the Lord this night? You see, the disciples saw that the Savior lived a perfect life. The Savior saw that the Savior died that perfect death upon the cross. And when they seen him, they saw that he rose again in the perfect resurrection. And they saw his wondrous works. And they saw all that he'd done. And him now being risen was a sign of the work for them to go forward. And disciples believing him, because they believed and saw the truth, they were plunged into the field. They were told to go forward. However, it would not be long until discouragement came amongst these people. And these men who once lived for the Savior and once lived following after the Savior, they were to fall away. Their decisions which they would make would find that they would have stepped upon wrong pathways and going along from a way that is led away from the way which they should be walking. Before I really go any further into this message, before I really could even go into it, I want you to look at your own life this evening. I want you to consider the life that you live. I want you to consider the decisions which you have made in your life. the ways which you've done, the walkings which you've gone upon over this last number of days, over this last number of weeks, months, or even years. Your life, the way which you have been walking, is your life a way of walking for godliness? Or has the way which you have been walking taken you away from the goodness of the relationship of Christ? Your decision is the actual decision of a backslider. If you a few years ago maybe said, well, I would never watch TV on the Sabbath day. Today you stand Sabbath day after Sabbath day watching TV. Do you say, I would never go to a football match on a Sunday? And there you go, the football match on Sunday. You say, I wouldn't be in such and such a place. But today you find that it is okay. The decision of a backslider is to follow a certain pathway which only will lead. Now listen to this. Will lead to ungodliness. And this evening, look at your own life. How things which you've done of this last number of years led you away from the goodness which God provides for you. And has it so that your life has shown yourself to not be where you believe or God wants you to be? Has it brought your relationship? Has your decisions brought you to where your relationship, you feel your relationship should be with God? Or has your decisions you've made brought you to where you know that you're not following after God? Or that means, where are you tonight? Like you know where you should be. And what would it take for you to get back to where you once were? Maybe you say this, if that thing happened in my life, then I will make the decision to get right with God. And maybe that thing has happened. But tonight, a backslider sits in this congregation or listens to our voice on the internet, and they are not following after God. It didn't bring you to God. Maybe you say to God, I bring another condition, something else, this other thing, if it happens, I'll come back to God. But it maybe has happened already. But yet you're not back to God. This is something we all should consider. That God just doesn't want us to be back to where we were before. God desires that we take the steps forward. God desires that we go on with Him. And here the disciples in this passage, that the Savior had desired that they should go on with Him. No, it wasn't just Peter in this passage. There were seven disciples. It mentions them there in the verse number 2. I'll not read it through it. But in there they have seven disciples before Him, and there six of them are seeking direction. Where did they seek direction from? The Bible says this there, that Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. Disciples weren't considering what God had for them. But they sought direction from Peter. And they looked at Peter. And they wanted to see where Peter would go. How Peter would walk. They wanted to see what pathway that he would go on, that they would maybe follow, that he would show leadership to them, that he would see guidance from them. And instead of considering what has been said of God, they considered man. And how often does that happen? The decisions of a believer is marked by what a man says instead of marked of what God say. What does Peter do? Peter brings forth to these men an earthly decision. And in following after this earthly decision, both Peter and the six others that were there, they failed. How did they feel? We'll find later on they failed miserably. And the reason they failed in this passage is because they turned their eyes away from where they should be looking, and they turned themselves onto what mankind had to say to them, and that is us, considering mankind over and over again. Let me tell you categorically this evening, human decisions often lead us to failure. Godly decisions lead us to heaven. Maybe there's someone, and maybe even last month, you loved reading God's word. You loved coming to the prayer meeting and praying. You loved getting the quiet time before the Lord. You say, I'm going on with the Lord. But says you're not reading your Bible anymore. You're not coming to the prayer meeting. You're not taking the quiet time before the Lord. Ask yourself, am I in a backslidden state? If that's you, ask yourself, am I in a backslidden state? The disciples took their eye off the way which they should go for 1 minute, and they went a-fishing. I go fishing. We'll find that the Lord will deal with Peter later. And he will deal with him, and he speaks to him about him making earthly decisions. What does the Savior not say in the verse? We didn't read it, verse 15 to 7. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? But what does verse 15 say even more? It says, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than the things on earth which you have in your life? And the Lord says to us, do we love the Lord more than the pleasures of this old earth? Do we love the Lord more than the things which we take for granted in our own lives and search after them? Do we love the Lord more than Manchester United or Liverpool or Chelsea or whatever it may be? Do we love the Lord? Lovest thou me more than this? These. That means whatever you're doing, whatever decision you take, do you love it more than you love God? If that's the truth, if that's you tied to a T, then there's where the problem lies. This is exactly why we're backsliding. And that's exactly why we're failing. And that's exactly why this country of Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom are failing in the things towards God. And that's why our country loves not God and loves not the things of God. And we fail. And the disciples, they fail. We said they were once in the presence of the living God. The Savior was visible to them. They had days of encouragement, but that seemed to be in a distant past. And Peter's decision and the disciples' decision is staggering to me, because they've just been sent forth to serve the Lord, to reach others. And now they go fishing. They're going away from the way which they've been told to go. Their steps aren't Godward. And they go fishing. They've been called from being fishers of fish. They've been called to be fishers of men. But immediately they go back to old habits. Basically, they go back to what they knew. And if you're honest this evening, the beginning when you got right before God, backslider gathered in this meeting, We were on fire for God. You loved the Lord and everything was so happy and you enjoyed it so much. But something happened. Some decision that you said, I must not do that anymore. I mustn't attend a prayer meeting. I mustn't come to the morning service or evening service. I mustn't be there in the house of the Lord. Something happened. You're like the disciples. You go fishing. You go do something else that you think you can do best. And you leave God out of it. See, these men were called to preach. But they do what they're comfortable with. And child of God, as we said, that's what we're so prone to do. We're prone to do what we feel is comfortable for us to do. You know, I thank the Lord for this congregation. I come to the prayer meeting and you see young people gathered. Come to the service and you see young people gathered. What a blessing it is. Some of our congregations haven't even got that. How is our life before God this evening? How is our life before God? Are we going and praying and seeking that God would move? Decisions of a backslider to go fishing. To go fishing. And to be honest, if you're honest this evening, you say, I love doing those other things. I love going that direction. This path has led me. I'll stop there. Has this path led you to being a strong Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or where has it led you? Has it helped you to grow spiritually? Or have you got away from the book? If you get away from it and you wonder how you're getting back. But know this, that you can think you can have all the fulfillments in the world. But the only real fulfillment that anyone that is gathered inside or outside of this congregation will ever get is the fulfillment that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. We're falling away. Our decisions, our actions are leading us astray. Why not make a clear decision this evening? Turn back to God. Turn to Him. Turn from the way which you are walking, turning to the way which we know we should be walking. We should make our decisions, point ourselves in the way of Christ. Decisions of the backslider. Look at the direction of the backslider. Verse number 3 again. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered the ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. Second action, direction of the backslider. They went and they entered the ship to go fishing. They went so that they could find fish. Maybe they thought they were inadequate to do the other. I know how they feel. Are we all inadequate to preach, stand before a congregation? I surely am, if I'm not most inadequate to many others. But I stand believing in God. Maybe they thought they would be more comfortable on the boat. I'm sure the Savior was on the boat many times. Maybe you feel comfortable because that's where it's... And maybe this evening you come to church like you always do. See, I feel comfortable here because I was here when I got when I first got right with God. But you're cold. Your life has gone in a downward spiral. You know you're not where you should be. You know that it's not the way where you should be walking. And you're just here out of form. May the Lord put this fire upon you and make you burn for Him. May the Lord draw us to where we should be. Because if you're in a backslidden state, if you're in a backslidden state this evening, You're going not on the way which you should be going on, but you're directly going away from the way which is right. And the disciples were doing that exactly. For didn't the Savior tell Peter? In Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, henceforth thou shalt catch men. Henceforth thou shalt catch men. But here do we find Peter in chapter 21 of John chapter 3. John 21 verse 3 says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They go back to the industry which they know. See, how long did it take them? He read the word down in that verse number 3. It says, and they entered into the ship immediately. They entered into the ship immediately. You see, people gathered, young people and older people gathered in this place, and middle-aged people. It doesn't take long for us to get cold. It doesn't take long for us to stop reading the Word of God. It doesn't take long for us to adapt in the way which is our old ways. And it didn't take long for the disciples to adapt back to their old ways. But on the direction in which Peter was about to go on, and did go on, it had consequences. We all should think about this earnestly. For every decision we make, every direction we go on, there's people watching us. People like to see us. They like to see our children see us. I as a father, have a responsibility to train up my children. Responsibility is God has set us forth. But here we have Peter. Peter was to do something. He was to go away, and immediately he went, but it had consequences upon it. Because his 6 other disciples went with him. Because he said, I go a-fishing. The effects happened upon 6 others. As they took step and they went fishing, it says, and they went with him. Because you drift away may cause the decision for someone else to drift away immediately. As I said, it doesn't take long. Maybe somebody says in the meeting, I'm okay, I'm doing well for the Lord. You're not talking to me. But you know who the Lord's talking to this evening. You know the Lord is talking to you this evening. The Lord is saying to you, backslider or unsaved one in this meeting, that you are not what you should be. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know. Because you're following the way of the crowd, because the crowd follows that way of sinful matters, and you do as they do, just as the disciples, the 6 others, followed and they went fishing, following after what Peter had said. But to actually backslide, to actually, you must do something, you grow cold and do something. The disciples actually went so much as they went fishing. They took on their feet and they went to the boat. They went on to the ship and they got their nets and they gathered themselves out to sea and they go along the road and they go out and they're going farther and farther away from Christ and they're saying, I go fishing. And they go back to their old ways and they know it's not right. But they go. There's a similarity between you and the disciples. Disciples were experienced fishers. We're experienced sinners. May we not fall into the trap of thinking we're okay. We're deceived by thinking we're okay when we're still following on a downward spiral, away from God. Young person, older person gathered in this meeting, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is inspired word. All Scripture is inspired by God. And this evening, you can't deny it. It's true. Because you know it's true. You've seen the effects of someone else's life. You know the sad thing about someone making decisions and going away and affecting other lives? Maybe you're an unsaved or backslider in this gathering. Your wife previously sat in this meeting with you. Your husband previously sat in this meeting with you. Your children were once here. Your family members who you loved, your friends, they gathered alongside you. Because of your actions, decisions, they went away. They no longer come. Let them see the decision you make this evening. That they would once more come along to this congregation because the Lord our God is with us. And because the Lord our God has drawn you back unto himself. Backslider, I want you to admit it. You're unhappy. You can't get anything that was so good in Christ. You're unhappy. Admit it this evening. Because nothing suffices except what's true in the Word of God and is the truth of Jesus Christ. And you're going in the wrong direction and you're physically stepping away, bit by bit away from the things of God. May this church on the hill always be the standard. Set the standard because it believes in God. May it never fall. May it not step away. Remember, backslider, whom the Lord loveth? He says he chasteneth. This means that the Lord will not be lenient. He'll go after. He'll draw things to your path to try to mold you, to correct us, to bring us to where he desires us to be. And if you're going in a way against God, you're not going to be happy. You'll not be following a pathway which God has declared that you should follow on. You'll not be satisfied in the pleasures of this world. The disciples are not happy. Why? Even though they're doing what they think they can do best. The Bible tells us that they caught nothing. Experienced men. Wonderful fishermen. It was the total industry of the land that they did. They were great at it. But it tells us that they caught nothing. Caught nothing. You see, they're different than they were before. They're falling away. And there's men and young people that have left this congregation. As I thought on yesterday as I prepared this message, a number of them are mentioned in that prayer meeting this evening. Backslider, where are you going? You're not satisfied. You've caught nothing. The repercussions of your life has brought you to where you are today. But you're not happy. I don't want you to shout out loud or tell me anything out to my face, but answer before God. Are you satisfied with the way which you're living? Are you satisfied that you've caught nothing? Have you satisfied that you're going on the way you are? And you think you're doing what you're doing is best for you, but you've not caught anything. You're not doing well. Or is there men and women and young people gathered that want to be real fishermen, seeking God's way, not looking for the hooray of man, but saying, God, I want it your way. Living for Christ, know, you too can be a fisherman or fisherwoman, reaching your family members and friends. No, we started our Christian walk, something happened. The Lord worked in our lives. We've neglected those things, our Bible readings, as I said, our praying times. Neglected our fellowship with the people of the Lord. Neglected all these things. We tried in our own strength. And all along we realize, we know that God's there. We think our ways are sometimes better. They're not. If we're really, really honest, we feel like the disciples were in this passage. Totally helpless. Totally fruitless. Doing nothing. But why did the backsliding happen? The backsliding happened because they lost out with fellowship with the Lord. And because they have set themselves on a pathway which they know will not lead them unto glorying the Lord's name. They have, and with us, we have got ourselves where someone has said a word to us, or something has been said, or some thought has come into our mind, where it's brought us to a place of discouragement and has drawn us away, not just from attending faithfully, but drawn us away from the Word of God. Do you know who's losing out this evening? You are. You're losing out with God. The disciples, when they were here, they caught nothing. Seemed like failure. And you know what way I think they thought? This is what I think. Isaiah 49 verse 4 tells us. This is the way I think they thought. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain. They were laboring in the wrong way. And it truly was in vain. And child of God, the backslider this evening, this is easy to happen. We too can lose out with the Lord in fellowship. It only takes one thing to happen. That we're stopping going to the prayer meeting or the church services in the morning and the evening. We miss one night. It becomes two stop nights we miss at the church. Comes three, comes four. We stop reading and praying one night. That becomes two nights and three nights and four nights a week after. We get cold. And it's easy to fall away. But quickly, the Savior can draw you back. Look at verse 4. It says, we find the blessedness of the Savior. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Then he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. They caught nothing. But praise God, joy comes in the morning. And joy did come, because in the morning Jesus was on the shore. Jesus stood on the shore. And Jesus was watching all that they had done. Jesus had seen all that was going on. And know this in this gathering, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, sees every single thing that we say or do. Jesus knows that we don't read our Bibles. He knows that we haven't got a time of prayer. He knows that we're in a backslidden state. And he watches over us and sees our mistakes. And we have many. He sees our failings. And he waits for us to notice that he really is there all the time. He's never left us. He's never gone away from you. It is us that's left the Savior, and him never. Lo, I am with thee always. Even though he's always there, we may not seek him. As we see there at that end of that verse 4, it says they knew not that it was Jesus. How far had they gone? That they didn't know that it was the blessed Savior. They knew not. How far have you gone? The Savior may talk to you, speak to you this evening, but you don't know it's Him. How far? How far? How far are we gone? But here's the blessedness of the Savior. The Savior stays there. And He calls out to them in the verse number 5. It tells us, then Jesus saith unto them, you see, He cared for them. And He cares for you this evening. And He wants you to come back. And He wanted the disciples to have plentiness. He wanted them to come in. He wanted them to know Him. What a blessed Savior. He calls them back to Him. Will you not come back to Him? He desires to have meat. He desires to have the milk. He desires that you have the texture which you need to live a life for Him. And He desires to guide you. He desires that you would follow His ways. That He would be the guide of our lives. Is His still sweet voice not whispering? Can we hear the gentleness of the Savior calling us? The disciples heard a voice, but they knew not it was Jesus. What did the Savior ask them? It says there in verse 5, children, have ye any meat? You see, He cares for them to grow. He wants to see growth. He doesn't want to see them to go hungry. Have you any meat, He says. Have you any meat? He calls out to them, and He desires to give them encouragement as well. He desires to give them more than they really deserve, and He desires to give us more than we deserve. But we must, and they must, do exactly what Jesus Christ was going to say, because the Savior didn't just say to them, have you any meat? He says, cast the net on the right-hand side of the ship, verse 6. And ye shall find. Not only to give a promise, but there He confirms what He will do, says that He will do. What a blessed Savior. What a blessed Savior. You see, they caught nothing. But Jesus came into the midst and told them what you should do. What did the disciples do? They took off their net. They took it to the right-hand side. There as they dipped that net in the ground, into the water, the joy came within the morning. Blessings of God. 153 fish were gathered together in the midst. And it says in verse 6, now they were able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And backslider this evening, the Savior makes a difference. The difference that He makes is immense. It is intensified. It is wonderful. The disciples are unaware. But they still listen to the voice and follow. Whenever the Savior spoke, the evidence and the effectiveness of it was magnificent. Because they followed His guidance and His voice. And He was there. And that's what I pray the people of this congregation would do. Follow the voice of the Lord. Follow Him. Sometimes we need to be reminded that it is Him that's there. Peter did in the verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved told him that it was a Savior. When he realized the Lord is there, the presence of the Savior, what did it bring? It brought a response. It didn't cause chaos. It didn't cause havoc. But it brought peace. And it brought blessings. You see, the disciples, they were experienced fishermen. They, They knew that normal circumstances, if you went over to the right-hand side of the ship, it wouldn't make a difference to the fish being gathered, because the fish here and the fish here would have been the same, or if there was none there on this side, they definitely wouldn't be on the other side. They knew, I'm sure, they maybe even tried it. But they, once they began to listen to the words, follow the words of Jesus, and the presence of Jesus brought forth the feast. What would it be? In the presence of the Lord, in the presence of Jesus gathered in our meeting, that we would see the feast. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The one whom the winds and the seas obeyed, brought forth great fishes into the nets, and they caught fish. Two things they observed. I'm going to close with this. First thing they observed was that they always needed the Savior. This is the second one. Listen up to this one. Those who are really caught in the net will never be let go. Amen. Amen to that. Meaning that those that are genuinely saved will not be cast out, but the Savior will seek after them. They will be encouraged, set on the way to heaven. You see, sometimes the instruction of the Savior is puzzling, isn't it? It was for the disciples, casting from one side to the other. But they do, and they saw the Savior working in their lives. May we see the Lord working in our lives and others as well. May the Lord bring us a new backslider to come back to Him. Your first love. Amen.